And I would like to welcome Jason Silverman back to the show. He is the director of the CCA Cinematheque. Welcome.
I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you here. We are here to talk about movies, about media, to hear an interview that I recorded a couple of days ago with Lydia Smith about the film Walking the Camino that opens this weekend at the CCA this Friday. And it's the KSFR Fund Drive, so it's the time that we ask people to make a contribution to KSFR Public Radio by picking up their telephones, whether they be cell phones, landlines, Skype, or some other device that I haven't heard of yet, and calling 428-1393, 428-1393, and making a contribution to this show. We made our goal yesterday of $1,000, and we'd like to exceed that today. Well, let's make a $1,000 goal and see if we can go over it today on the Radio Cafe. So that means between now and 9 o'clock, we would just love you to call and make a contribution to KSFR to support this station and to support this show and to support movies.
Exactly. Well, you know, every time you have one of our filmmakers on, ticket sales go up. And every time ticket sales go up, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you can see it clearly. And every time ticket sales go up, our project of showing movies and bringing awesome people to Santa Fe becomes that much easier. We become sustainable because of KSFR. And we're one of, how many, 400,000 organizations in Santa Fe that count on KSFR to do that kind of work. And I just can't imagine.
80,000 people, 400,000 organizations.
Exactly. 5 nonprofits per person. we're totally reliant on KSFR to spread the word and keep it independent. And I don't know what we would do without KSFR. And I think a lot of us take KSFR and the Radio Cafe somewhat for granted, which is not okay. You know, if you're listening to commercial radio, you actually are paying for it. You're paying for it by giving up some of your brain space and time, some of your minutes to corporate entities who are buying ads. Here, you're just chipping in directly, which gives you a little more control and power and ownership. So,
Also tranquility.
Tranquility, because you don't have to listen to the ads, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to listen to... It's not just the ads. It's two more things about the ads. It's the quality of the ads that sometimes have that screaming at you quality. Oh. And there is the quantity of the ads, which is sometimes I'm listening to commercial radio, you know, just to hear what's on, whatever, flipping through. And there will be 4, 5, 6, 7 ads in a row.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get home, and you get home, and there's still not a song.
I don't have the stats in front of me, but the amount of content versus advertising on commercial TV and radio, that ratio has shrunk so that, you know, it used to be 26 minutes of sitcom, and now it's 22 minutes or
right.
19 minutes. And so, you know, you're getting less of what you want to see and more of the advertising. And here, this is our thing. Have you ever done a barn raising?
Not that I know of.
that's what we need to do here, is we need to keep this, we need to all chip in and make this structure, KSFR, this structure, work for all of us.
428-1393. The reason we're talking and not going on to the interview with Lydia Smith, which we'll get to in a minute, and I love Lydia Smith. I love her. She's such a wonderful person and filmmaker. We only talked on phone. I haven't met her yet. But anyway, you will hear her in a moment. But the reason we're not doing that yet is because we would like you to call and like the phones to ring, 428-1393, and just support this show. There are a lot of people who have never called before, and we certainly would love to hear from you. And there are people who call every year, and we're so happy to hear from you, too. So, new friends, old friends, 428-1393. I just got a note from the lovely Mary Lynn in the control room that the phones are starting to ring. So we are very happy. So let us now bring you Lydia Smith, and we'll be back in a few minutes. I'm very happy now to welcome Lydia Smith. She's producer and director of the documentary film Walking the Camino, 6 Ways to Santiago, which opens this weekend at the CCA Cinematheque here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So this is a documentary about 6 people on the Camino de Santiago de Compostela in Spain. What is this Camino? How did it come to be a pilgrimage route?
Well, apparently this particular route has been around for ages, and there's even stories that prehistoric man from all over Europe would walk across Europe kind of chasing the sun to the most western point, which is considered to be Finisterre, the end of the earth. And then it became, I guess, a Celtic route. And then when the remains of St. James were discovered, they built a cathedral and it became a Catholic pilgrimage endorsed by the Pope at the time. And then hundreds of thousands of pilgrims from all over Europe started making the trek, walking all the way across the continent to the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela. And then it's been up and down. It was at its height in the Middle Ages in the 12th and 13th century. And then it kind of went dormant for a while. And it's really experiencing a resurgence now in the last 5 years. It's just grown exponentially, practically.
Why do you suppose that is?
I think it's because it's such a kind of magical experience, and it's so open. There's not a lot of dogma or rules or regulations about it. It's really about finding your path, finding your way, and kind of getting in touch with yourself instead of something that's very regulated. I mean, you can get up early and start walking and stop at let's say 1 o'clock, or you can start walking at 9 and walk till 5. You can go to Mass every day or never go to Mass. I mean, so it's all about finding what works for you. And I also think our society is really ready to look beyond just consumerism and, you know, buying more stuff and watching lots of TV. But really, what's the meaning of life and why are we here? And I think the Camino helps us realize each of us has our own purpose here on the planet. And it's a matter of finding our purpose, not one big thing out there that is for everybody. It's very individual.
What's interesting about the film is that a lot of the people whom you film, maybe everybody, they really get what they need, but it's not always what they thought they needed or what they were in fact looking for.
Yes. There's a saying on the Camino, you get what you need, not what you want.
Right.
So it seems to hold true.
So how did you choose the people whom you filmed?
Well, of all the people you see in the film, only one I knew beforehand, and that was Annie. And she and I have known each other for quite a while, and we attend the same spiritual center. And when she heard I was doing this project, she just was immediately like, I want to be involved. I want to walk. And I knew I needed at least one person that would be completely open and vulnerable and have the courage to show what was going on the inside. And also I needed somebody to film the first day. But everybody else I kind of picked up along the way. And for me, it was really about letting the Camino cast the film. I didn't want to come saying, okay, you know, this is the way it is, and this is my vision, and this is who needs to be in it. I really wanted to be open to letting who be in the film who was meant to be. And so I would just talk to people as we walked, and usually I'd spend a little bit of time telling them what my vision was for the film, and everybody except one person said yes. And we actually originally filmed about 15 different people doing the Camino. And it was important to me too, though, to have a variety of ages, nationalities, reasons for doing the Camino, religious, spiritual, or none. Because right. That's really what you find on the Camino is a huge range of people.
I was wondering, I mean, first of all, were you walking yourself? How were you getting yourself and your camera crew around? And how did you deal with the fact that people walk at such different speeds? So even if a bunch of people started out together, they end at such different times.
Yeah. Well, I walked myself just independently with no intentions of doing a film in 2008. So it was there that I really got the pilgrim experience and really felt it. And then I returned the next year with essentially three camera crews. We had two vans, A camera and B camera, which consisted of camera, sound, director, someone driving, doing logistics, and an assistant. And then I had a roving cameraman. And with the vans, essentially what we did is we'd film somebody in the morning, do an interview, film them walking, film them having lunch, whatever. And then we'd get in the van and we'd go backwards or forwards to find somebody else to shoot. And essentially, we shot each of our pilgrims about every 3 to 4 days. I didn't want to film anyone too much because then they wouldn't have their own pilgrim experience.
Right.
So it was a really fine line of letting them have their experience and being there for great moments. So it was a walking a razor's edge in some way.
We're talking to Lydia Smith, producer and director of the film Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago. And we are in the Santa Fe Baking Company with Jason Silverman. How did you choose this film?
Well, it's a film about spirituality and transformation, and it's personal tales, and those documentaries always appeal to Santa Fe. And then, additionally, Lydia said that if we played it, she'd drive her RV out and park it in front of the CCA for the weekend, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Nice.
And we've had a lot of there's a lot of interest in the film already. We've had a lot of calls, a lot of reservations, so I think it'll do well here.
428-1393 is the number to call and make a contribution if you like what you're hearing. Also, the toll-free number, 866-907-5737. That's the toll-free 866-907-KSFR. Does it make you want to walk 500 miles across northern Spain?
Everything makes me want to walk.
So, really?
Yeah, I love. Yeah, that's my dream, is to, you know, just go walking. And so,
would you do that?
Would I do it? Maybe. Right now, I've got spreadsheets to attend to.
No, I don't mean tomorrow, but I mean like.
Yeah, I would do it.
'Cause there's nothing. Wild horses couldn't drag me. Well, I mean, they could drag me, but I wouldn't purposely walk 500 miles. It's so interesting what people's motivations are.
Yeah. Bring good socks.
Bring good socks. 428-1393, and we are about 20% of the way to our goal of $1,000. So that's a great start.
Can we give some tickets away?
Yes! Oh my goodness, I forgot to say that during the first segment. If you make a contribution, you can get a pair of tickets, not only to this movie, if you want to go see this movie, fabulous, but it's a pair of tickets that's good for this whole year to any movie at the CCA.
Have you ever added up how many different organizations you cover over the course of the year?
No.
How many do you think it is?
I once added up how many people I'd interviewed, and the last time I did that, it came out to about 7,000.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
That's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
I don't remember them all. I wish I did.
They all remember you.
Virtually every single one of them was interesting in some way. I mean, that's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing about doing the Radio Cafe is you get to, I mean, I get to not only read books and watch movies, but share my love and passion for those things with other people.
I've had filmmakers and other guests tell me that this show, the Radio Cafe, is the best interview they've had. And they've gone, you know, they've been on tour. And they've been doing interviews in New York City and San Francisco and Chicago. And this is the one where the questions were most interesting and where the conversation was deepest.
Wow.
I hear that regularly.
Oh, my goodness. You never told me that.
No, I don't want you to get swelled head. I just want to get your show paid for. So don't listen to the praise.
I will not. 428-1393. 428-1393 is the number. No, it's very gratifying to hear that, because doing a show like this, you know, nobody, as we've said before, nobody at KSFR is in it for the money. We do it out of a desire to serve and out of just a love and passion for the things that we do. In my case, it's ideas. For other people, it's music. Also music, especially Latin music is my thing, too. But that's why you do stuff like this. So if you're coming from that kind of... take issue with the separation of heart and mind. I think that they often really go together. So that heart-mind thing that is the love of ideas, that's what we try to do on this show.
You know, I worry about the state of discourse in this culture, that there's not enough places to talk and explore ideas in the way there used to be. And that might be nostalgic, but I think even in my lifetime, you've seen a certain kind of flattening of the range of discourse and shrinking opportunities to talk about the things that really matter. You know, we spend more time isolated in front of our computers now and less time talking to other human beings. And so you bring people on and you talk to them and you have these conversations and it makes other people want to talk. And it just shows you the power of that. And I think the world really progresses through conversation and through challenging your ideas and through bringing new ideas. I think that's how we grow and learn. And that's why this show is so valuable and so rare.
428-1393. I'm going to just go in the other room and put ice cubes on my head because I'm blushing from what you're saying. But, you know, it's what you're saying is really true.
And, you know, Santa Fe is so blessed because there's not just KSFR, not just the CCA, but there's so many places, especially per capita, where you do get to challenge your concept of the world and hear from interesting people. You know, what the Landon Foundation does and what the Lenzik does and what Site Santa Fe does, what the Opera does, and on, what Collected Works does. You know, there's a list of 40 or 50 organizations that want to connect audiences with big ideas and beautiful music and art, and that's what makes this place so valuable and special. And to me, KSFR is the glue. It keeps this diverse group of presenters connected with their audiences.
428-1393. Please call in and make a contribution during this show. We have a goal of $1,000 by the end of the hour. I'm not sure where we're at just now because I think we're seeing what's happening on the phones and collecting names. And of course, I'm at the baking company, so I can't see it because I don't have a webcam focused on.
After all these fun drives, you can't just like tap into the psychic giving.
Yeah, the psychic giving. But tomorrow, I mean, today we're talking to Lydia Smith. Tomorrow we have a guy on who's going to be speaking at the James A. Little Theater. It's one of the Santa Fe Institute lectures. And his contention is that, or his field of study is evolutionary psychology. And he basically says, even with Facebook and all these different social media, and even with our complicated urban lives, we are evolutionarily pretty much designed to have a maximum of 150 good friends. And all of this, like, I have 7,000 Facebook friends kind of stuff, it's an illusion. And what is real friendship? What is real connection? Those are such interesting questions. And when you say there's been a flattening of discourse, it's like, where are the real conversations with our people?
Yeah, if you can once a day get an idea that helps you evolve your understanding of being human on the earth, you're a lucky person. And I think more than likely, if you listen to Radio Cafe every morning, you're going to get that. Along with, you know, Cats versus Dogs.
We're not doing Cats versus Dogs this year.
Oh, okay.
Because I think
it's
it
so
has
obvious.
Been, well, it's been proven that dogs are better.
All right. And now all the cat people are retracting their pledges.
If you disagree with that, call, or if you agree with that, call 428-1393 and make a contribution to this station, to this show. I just got a note of horror from the control room, which I believe is being controlled by a cat person. Let's go back to Lydia Smith, but not before you make that call to KSFR. By the way, I haven't mentioned, there's a couple of things. You can pledge online, which is ksfr.org, and hit pledge now. If you're not in a place where you can make a phone call, that always works. And you can become what's called a sustaining member, where you make a contribution monthly. And you can pledge whatever amount, 10, 15, 20, whatever is comfortable for you and that won't impact your finances in a palpable way. And it really helps us to have sustaining members because it's something that we can count on.
It's okay to give till it just slightly hurts, too.
Well, there is that.
I think if you're feeling it, then you're appreciating what you're doing. You know, you give so that you know you're giving, and then you appreciate the gesture that much more.
428-1393 is the number. Please call us right now, and we're going to go back to Lydia Smith. There's, I mean, one of the things I like about the film is that you can kind of redefine what you mean by spiritual journey in this film. So it turns out that, I mean, some people who really were not doing it for religious or spiritual reasons at all, whatever those words mean, again, they mean different things to different people, but one of them, for example, has to walk through a great deal of pain, and there was a kind of pretty profound growth or change in that. One person was very pious and religious, and her brother was a total atheist, but you really got to see which one of those two was more calm and peaceful and tranquil inside, and it wasn't the pious person.
Yeah, it really is. I think that's what makes the Camino so appealing, is that it does speak to somebody that's a complete atheist to somebody that's very devout, and really gives everybody the kind of journey they need to grow and to be more of who they are.
There's also there's a lot of different kinds of wisdom in it. One of them is just simply about baggage. I mean, you were talking about consumer culture before, but both metaphorical and literal baggage get shed along the way.
Yeah, and that is such a big thing of the Camino. I mean, when you walk, people are constantly talking about what they have and what they can get rid of, and it's really quite fun in the first couple stages. You see at the albergues, the pilgrim hostels, people that have just left things like clotheslines, big bottles of shampoo, trowels, you know, all these really amazing things that they really don't need. And it is such an analogy for life that we really don't need all these things to make us happy. That's not where happiness lies.
There's also a piece of wisdom in it, I think, about competition and competitiveness. And one of the people in the film, I think it might have been one of the Catholic religious folks, I can't remember exactly, but basically says...
It was Annie, yeah, the American.
Right. She says this, but also there's one of the people speaking in Spanish, who I think was a Catholic priest or something, saying, if you do it from a place of competition, it doesn't work. And Annie really lived that out.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's the same thing with life. You know, we compete against each other. Really, it's only about finding our own path, and we're not in any race with anybody else. And that becomes very clear on the Camino. And for Annie, it was such a visceral experience that she had to go her pace. She could not go anyone else's pace. And that's something, too, that in all the years I've been making this film for 5 years, and I've talked to so many people, and this one friend of mine who is a medic and was talking about that's why people get tendonitis, is because they're trying to walk at a pace that's not their own, and hence they're using muscles and tendons in ways they're not used to. And so that's how injuries come about. And I just thought that's so interesting, and I think it is a reflection of life, that when we're not on our own path, when we're trying to compete with somebody else, that's when things aren't working. But when we're really following our own purpose and our life vision, then that's when things flow. Not to say it won't be challenging, but at least you're on your own path.
I was wondering, I mean, you walked it yourself, and you also made this film, and I was wondering how each of those processes changed you, changed your own life.
Well, you know, there's a saying on the Camino, the real Camino starts when you get home. And for me, the walking was really pure pleasure. I mean, I did have my blisters in the beginning, and there were times that were tough, but most of all, more than anything, it was really just a joy, and I adored it and loved it. And I I had no intentions of making the film when I was walking, but when people found out I was a filmmaker, they would say, oh, you should do a documentary on the Camino. And I resisted it for many months, and then finally I started. And for me, there all the lessons are kind of all wrapped up into one. I think one of the big things I got out of the Camino and doing the film was learning to trust myself and learning to trust my intuition and kind of let myself be guided rather than just purely basing all my decisions on my intellectual reasoning. And so that was really a big part of it. And the other big learning I got from both making the film and walking was realizing I was a lot more capable than I thought. I've underestimated myself. And I've spent most of my life, most of my working life, supporting other people's visions. And I was a really great support person. I was a really great producer. I could make things happen for other people. But it was this film and it was the Camino that really cemented into me that, yes, my dreams matter. What I think is important is important as well. And so that was really a big thing for me. So for me, the Camino and the making of the film are completely intermingled. The lessons are kind of flow from one and the other. And I feel especially blessed because making the film was extremely challenging, far more difficult than walking. But I had the content. I had all my subjects of my film talking about things that would encourage me and uplift me and inspire me to keep going. And there was just multiple times when I'd be watching footage and somebody would say exactly what I needed to hear when I was feeling discouraged and thinking about giving up and not finishing the film. I would hear what I needed to in my own material.
We're talking to Lydia Smith about the film Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago. And we're talking to Jason Silverman, director of the CCA Cinematheque, about movies and media and the KSFR Fun Drive. We are less than 40% of the way to our goal of $1,000 for this hour. And so please, ladies and gentlemen, make the phones ring by calling 428-1393.
Yeah, you got to get on that, everybody.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, you guys are on it.
Hey, Mary Lynn from the control room.
Right.
Do we have some thank yous?
We do indeed. But yay. First of all, while Tom Strobridge was reading the, doing the local news, Paul West from NBC News called in. He's in the New York chapter of news there in support of Dave Marish, one of our new news directors.
Awesome.
Big supporter of Big Daddy. That's the nickname. Now we know we have the goods on Dave. His nickname is Big Daddy. And then we have a thank you going out to Albert Migliori.
Albert Migliori, thank you.
And Charles Forrest.
Thank you, Charles.
These guys are big fans of the Radio Cafe.
Yay.
Faris Rezabek.
Thank you.
And from Tsuki. And Anne Wrinkle.
Yay, Anne. Thank you.
A big shout out to both of you, Mary Charlotte and Jay. And
Jason.
She's Jason. And she said they wrote Jay here, so maybe he called you Jay. But they both said, we love you.
Well, we love you too. Anne's from Site Santa Fe, and they do a terrific job over there. Good. Well, let's keep the calls coming. And as always, you don't have to have your name read aloud. You can give in the name of anonymous or in the name of a dear departed person or pet.
It is such a bargain giving your donation to KSFR. It's money incredibly well spent. KSFR and the other organizations in town that are doing this work. Santa Fe is special because of KSFR, because of CCA and Site Santa Fe, and all of the nonprofits that give us an alternative to the commodity culture and that connect us with this incredible, world of ideas and of beauty. So give and keep Santa Fe, Santa Fe.
428-1393 is the number. I keep saying it because people say, oh, I didn't hear that, even though I think I've said it 4,000 times. But, here it is one more time. 428 1393. And it's funny because we make such a distinction between the nonprofit and the for-profit world, and to some extent there is. But the for-profit world makes the nonprofit world possible, too. I mean, people are out there, entrepreneurs, putting their ideas into practice, making money, starting businesses, employing people, and every single piece of it makes the world go round. There's a way in which the commercial world has turned into, as we've talked about ad infinitum on this station, a kind of military-industrial complex that has some pretty serious downsides environmentally and socially, and I think it's important to criticize those things and to analyze them and to understand them to make a better world in which we can actually have a kind of harmony between the public and private sectors, between management and labor, between the environment and business and all those things that seem to always be at odds with each other. There is a way to, and there's lots of examples of ways to make those things work.
Well, Santa Fe is blessed because of the number of independent local businesses. And we're sitting in the Santa Fe Baking Company. And you look around and out this window, and everything around us is locally owned businesses. And the money is spent here and stays here. And that's another thing that makes Santa Fe really special. And so for the independent business owners, you know, also support KSFR because we're all part of the same fabric.
Very much so. Including the Santa Fe Baking Company, I have to say, this is a terrific locally owned and run business. The people, I've been here sitting in this chair in this corner of this restaurant for over 10 years. And there were people, wonderful people before me, Honey Harris and Will Sims, who were doing the same job. So this seat has been occupied in the morning for a really long time. And it's been the same owners and a lot of the same workers. And I always love it when restaurants have the same staff year after year because you know that they treat them well.
Yeah, it's like Mayberry here. You know everyone in the room or most of the people in the room. And when it's someone new, you know they're new.
It's true. Yeah, like, you know when a new person has moved into town because they bring their computer and they've been here three times every morning in the baking company. And it's like,
and then you start gossiping. Who's that guy?
428-1393 is the number. But let's talk for a moment about the importance of independent film and the place that the role that independent film plays in this intellectual discussion and this kind of moral and social discussion that we're talking about.
Independent film has become this incredible movement. I mean, particularly in the U.S., but all around the world. And for decades, independent filmmakers have been telling stories that wouldn't otherwise be told. And in particular, since the advent of digital technology, more and more stories from different corners that have been unexplored are being told. And the long-form documentaries that are being made fill in the gaps for the gaps in journalism that I think are popping up now. And so you're hearing these incredibly vibrant, important stories, and there's so much going on in the field and so much of interest and so much vitality. I think of American independent film as the great arts movement, you know, ever. And so it's a privilege to be able to find and share these films with Santa Fe. There's so much to choose from all the time, and there's stuff that's fun and inspiring, like 20 Feet from Stardom or Walking the Camino. There are films that change policy, like Act of Killing or Invisible War. There's a whole gamut of amazing things out there, and so the world comes to our doorstep, and all the important ideas come to our doorstep through these films and through the commitment of the filmmakers.
428-1393 is the number. 428-1393. And another nice thing about the Santa Fe Baking Company is dogs on the patio. We just had a little dog incident outside. So the phones are now quiet. We have a $1,000 goal for this hour. We are, I think, still about almost 40% of the way there. So let's step up, ladies and gentlemen, because it would be a disappointment to me if we couldn't make our $1,000 goal in this hour. I think there's so many people who listen to this show and who tell me that they support it. So please support it.
I don't think I've come on and we haven't met our goal, and I do this every year.
Yeah, that's true.
So don't let me down.
428-1393, and we're going to go back to Lydia Smith. Did you have the ability to follow up with any of the subjects of the film after they got home? Because one does wonder, especially with certain people, what they took with them back into their regular lives.
Oh, completely. I mean, I've stayed in touch with all of them, and they've actually all, in their own way, been incredibly supportive and helpful in finishing the film. Many of them helping with translations and subtitling and or fundraisers. But they all are doing well and kind of continue to grow. And I am very close to all of them. I mean, they've all become friends as well. And, you know, there's a very special bond that was created in the making of the film. And so I don't get to see them all as much as I'd like. But I did get to see Misa and Tomas, Wayne and Annie all came to our premiere in Santiago. So that was very special.
Did you find that on the Camino, I mean, there are people there from different countries. And so you've got all kinds of Germans and you've got people from Spain and from Mexico and from the United States. And they all bring with them their national cultural traits, which have strengths and weaknesses. Did you see any kind of, like, the Americans are facing this kind of challenge and the Germans that kind of thing?
You know, I can't say I've ever noticed anything specific in that way. The only thing that really comes to mind is I always notice the Germans drink way more beer than anyone else. The Germans and the Dutch, and then the Spaniards that are drinking a lot of wine. And but, you know, now that you mention it, for example, we did follow a bunch of Germans, and none of them really had any physical issues, including this woman who was like 55. But, you know, I think the physical issues, in my experience and what I've seen, is really comes from not going at your own pace. It really comes from pushing yourself too hard. You know, it's such an American quality to push yourself too hard and not take care of yourself. So I really appreciate that question. I love that. But yeah, I hadn't really thought about it that much. What I did experience, especially on my own Camino, though, is how different people are culturally in terms of what they talk about and how private they are. And I lived in Spain for 6 years, and I lived in Italy, and where people are very open. And I walked with this guy from Sweden, and he was really offended by a lot of my questions were too private. And I started walking then with Spaniards, which are much more like me. So it's just, that part was really, really visceral to me for sure, was how people opened up in terms of what country they were from.
Now, does anybody ever walk the Camino with their dog?
You know, I had a friend that did, and I've heard of it. And I did meet this couple that found some puppies, and I walked with them for a couple of days. And I'd say it's pretty challenging because my guess is most of the albergues don't allow dogs. And it would be really hard to camp or bring your own tent and camp because so many of these hostels are in small little towns and they don't have, you know, a field behind them where you could pitch a tent, and the fields leading into the town are working fields. So it happens, but I'd say pretty rarely and probably pretty challenging to deal with. We did follow a couple that did it by horseback, and they had their dog with them as well. But they had the challenges of finding a place for their horses. So generally speaking, I think the dog stayed wherever the horses were. So they were already dealing with, you know, finding a place to have the horses spend the night.
Have people been inspired to do the Camino after seeing your film?
Yeah, actually, I'd say quite a few have. Even when I just, for the years that I was fundraising and finishing the film, I had several trailers online, and I heard of people that got inspired just from our 6-minute trailer or our 20-minute trailer. And it's funny because I really didn't make the film to try and inspire people to go. it was really about inspiring people to follow their own Camino, be that walking the Camino or starting a homeless shelter or gardening more, whatever it may be. But it definitely has had that effect on quite a few people.
Are you doing a tour? Are you going to places around the country where the film is opening?
Yes, I'm essentially doing a pilgrimage of sorts right now. I financed an RV, and we are taking the film on tour. We're distributing ourselves, which is pretty unusual. And at the same time, I think it really makes sense, because I'm the one that's kind of the most passionate about the film and really working a lot with outreach and getting people to know that the film is happening. And so what we've done is we've been in California so far, Chico, Santa Cruz, Monterey, San Diego, and now we're moving through to Arizona and then on to New Mexico, then Colorado, Kansas City, St. Louis, Nashville, Tennessee, and then I'll be flying home for a couple of weeks in April and starting on tour again, going through the South and up through the East Coast. But that said, we're also joining with an organization, actually we'll be live by next week, called TUG, and we're going to be able to do screenings on demand. So even if we're not coming through on the tour, somebody in, let's say, North Dakota wants to see the film, they can organize a screening and have it play at their local theater.
The film is called Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago, and it's on the web at CaminoDocumentary.org. That's the website. It opens this weekend here in Santa Fe at the Cinematheque at the CCA. Lydia Smith is producer and director. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you so much. And I just wanted to let everybody know that they can follow our tour and pictures of where we're going on our Facebook page, which is the Camino Documentary.
Excellent. So before we go, tell us just quickly what dates you will be in New Mexico.
Yes, I'm very excited. We're opening in both Santa Fe and Albuquerque on March 14th, Friday, and I'll be doing a Q&A in Albuquerque on Friday the 14th, and then in Santa Fe on Saturday the 15th. And then we'll be doing a three-day stint in Taos, and I will be there on Monday the 17th, and we'll be playing the 17th, 18th, and 19th in Dallas.
Excellent. And once more, we've been talking to Lydia Smith, producer and director of the film Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago. And we are now 10 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock, and we're only halfway to our goal of $1,000 for this hour. So let's step it up, ladies and gentlemen. Please support this show. If you like the interview, even if you can only give 10 bucks, 20 bucks, let's just get 10, 20 people calling with those amounts, 428-1393. It's better to get a call for a small amount than not to get a call at all.
Plus, there's tickets.
That's right. You get a pair of tickets with your contribution to KSFR. They can tell you what the amount is when you call. Very wonderful phone volunteers standing by.
Right. So, yeah, you guys should be calling and giving. KSFR needs you, and we need KSFR, so the math is simple.
The phone is starting to ring. Let's keep the phone ringing so terribly off the hook that our phone volunteers will be scrambling. I like to see them scramble.
Yeah, all four of their hands moving at once.
That's right. 428-1393. And it's really the question of, what does KSFR mean to you? What does it mean to your day? There are so many things that we... It's funny, there's a kind of deep irrationality about the things we spend money on. We might spend money on a mediocre meal out that we don't really enjoy that much, but just it's a little easier than cooking. But, you know, if you're going to go spend 30 bucks on a meal or 20 bucks on a meal, today you can give that 20, 30 bucks to KSFR.
Yeah, fast. You don't need the calories.
428-1393. We're going for that $1,000 goal in the next 8 minutes. We're, I think we're about $500 of the way there. Although the phone is ringing, so you never know. Maybe we're a little bit above that right now.
You could do this little exercise of the imagination, where you imagine taking that little dial in your fingers and flipping through the rest of the radio and imagining what you'd hear. You're going to hear commercials and that same rock and roll song on that same station that you heard 15 years ago.
Yeah, or 30 years ago.
Or some vacuous pop song. There's some good pop music, too. Theo's getting into pop music now. He's 11.
Your beautiful son.
And so you're going to flip through, and you could spend all day on the rest of the dial and not get any fraction of the kind of beauty and insight and wisdom and meaning and even humor that you're going to get on KSFR this morning.
428-1393, trying to make that goal by 9 o'clock. It's challenging, but I know we can do it. Yeah, there's a place for every good idea. I have some guidelines on this show of what can and can't be on the air, and I try to exclude stupidity, hatred, and ignorance. Those are kind of my guidelines. Everything else is fair game.
Yeah, and they've got their place. They're not lacking for venues.
That's right. Yeah, there's quite a bit of that on the internet, particularly in the comments section of certain articles. But anyway, 428-1393. No, it's this station, as I've begun to realize, as I've realized actually for some time, having lived in a number of different places, I've lived here for 25 years now, almost 25 years, but this is an extraordinary station. We have a lot of locally produced talk shows. We're not just doing syndicated shows that come out of a few big cities in the United States. We're doing stuff that is about this community, and I think that's very important. I think it makes the community really cohere and grow and connect.
It's hard for me to imagine a healthy, functioning town without vibrant, locally owned media. The two can't you can't have it. You need a healthy local media to invigorate and describe and connect the community.
The radio station to me is like, it's like a person. It's like a body that is devoted to service, that runs around the community. One day we're in the Greer Garson covering the inauguration. Another day we're at the theater. Another day we're up in the mountains. And in order to keep that person healthy, you gotta feed them. Well, you gotta give them vitamins.
Most of the people who are working, including the board members and a lot of the on-air talent, are volunteers, and the money that you're contributing actually supports the functioning of the mechanism. I mean, this is you're basically putting gas in the gas tank.
I was using the organism metaphor. You're putting food in the stomach.
Right, we could do that one too.
Okay.
You're putting fuel in the lawnmower.
Notice that Jason's doing the mechanistic.
No, it's a body.
It's a body. It's a body. We're people running around, and all you got to do is twice a year, you got to give us a cookie.
Yeah, you need a cookie. Well, no, you don't need the carbs. You need some protein.
Okay, a protein cookie.
So please donate a boiled egg to KSFR today.
In the form of a cash contribution or a monthly contribution, 428-1393.
And I have to say that money is incredibly well spent, because there is so much sweat equity in this organization. There is, every dollar buys you much more value than a dollar in other, commodity-controlled, a corporate media station. Because everyone there is getting paid, and God bless them. But here, this station runs largely on love. You know, it's 80% love and 20% dollars.
And
I just made that ratio up.
Yeah, people do that, but it's good. You know, it's what it is in order to stay on the air, we need listener contributions. That's why we're called listener-supported public radio. And I don't know where we're at. If Mary Lynn is there, you can maybe give us an update or maybe give us some thank yous. I know the phone is ringing, but I am so eager to get to our $1,000 goal by the end of this hour.
We're about three quarters of the way, I believe, so far. It's gotten a little busy in there. And Elaine Coleman called, and she wants to challenge other writers to call now, 428-1393. And contribute to your show, Mary Charlotte. And we had a shout out from Susan Block.
Thank you.
And several anonymi.
Yay, anonymi. We like them.
Okay.
428-1393. And so if we're three quarters of the way there, maybe a couple of people can call in with $100 contributions. That would be so awesome. Or maybe a couple of people can call in with $10 a month contributions. If we got just two of those, it would take us to our goal. We've got 2 minutes left to do it. Let us make our $1,000 goal for this hour.
Please call. We need you. Santa Fe needs you. Serve. It'll feel good. I give, Mary Charlotte knows, I give regularly. And, you know, I'm not the wealthiest guy in Santa Fe. And I actually love giving because it just feels like my dollars are so well spent. And they help our town, you know, be its wonderful self.
It's kind of like voting. I mean, many of us voted in the last election for mayor and city council members. And when you vote, it's just one vote. You can't, with one vote, swing the election most of the time. But you are putting your little bit in, and that's what makes democracy go around. And when you donate that little bit, $10, $20, $30, $100, that's what makes KSFR stay on the air. It's really as simple as that.
And how do you feel when you vote?
I love voting. I get like a rush out of voting. It's an emotional experience for me every single time. It's weird.
Me too.
And really?
That's the way. Yeah, that's the way I feel when I support one of our amazing local organizations. I feel the same way. I feel like I am doing my part to make Santa Fe great or to keep Santa Fe great.
428-1393. We're coming to the end of the hour. It's about 10 seconds before the hour. We're going to go to local news in just a moment. But I want to encourage people to get your tickets to the CCA. You can get a pair of movie tickets with a contribution. You could also get a baseball cap and the KSFR tote bag now that we don't have any plastic bags in this city. It's really nice to have a canvas bag with the KSFR logo on it. Lots of good things. But the main thing is supporting public radio. Jason Silverman is with the CCA Cinematheque. He is the director of that wonderful, wonderful theater. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
It's my pleasure. And if you didn't get a chance to give now, give during the rest of the fun drive.
428-1393, and I'll be back after the news.